The passion history of our Lord for this evening is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 19, verses 31 to 42. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers who pierced his side with a spear. And immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth so that you may believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled. Not one of his bones shall be broken. And another, again, scripture says, they shall look upon him whom they pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus, and Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Dear Lord, these are your words, and we ask that you would sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There are some sights in this life that are so beautiful that you just can't look away from them. This last year, I was blessed with the opportunity to go to this wonderful lake in central Oregon called Crater Lake. There was snow everywhere. The water was crystal blue. It was an amazing sight that I just couldn't stop looking at. There are also sights in this world that are so horrible that you can't stop looking at them. The first thing that came to mind for me, being from Texas, is natural disasters such as tornadoes and hurricanes. When they were around, the destruction was immense. Everything in its wake was gone. It was so horrible that I just kept watching. I spent many hours looking at those things. Our text for today has a sight for us that is both so beautiful that we can't look away, but also so horrible that we can't look away. This text is the end of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus. Last week, we got to hear the beginning of the crucifixion. The people to whom the word of the Lord came to first, the Jews, demanded that Jesus be crucified. They brought him to Pilate, and they made sure that Pilate crucified him. And above his cross, Pilate wrote the inscription, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And as we heard last week, the Jews did not like that. They wanted this sign to be changed and removed. And Pilate said, "What is written is written." Christ was crucified and scourged. After being on the cross for a few hours, he gave his mother to his disciple for his disciple to take care of her. He drank the sour wine that was given to him, and then he gave up his cross. He gave up his life. He said, "It is finished," and died. And our text shows that because it was the Sabbath, the Jews wanted Jesus' legs to be broken along with the others who were hanging on the cross. And that's a very interesting thing when you think about it historically, because crucifixions could take days, even up to a week. Those people could hang up there until they suffocated, until their diaphragms ripped apart, and they died. But the Jews wanted Jesus dead. They wanted the others who were crucified with Jesus dead. So the soldiers go and they break the leg of the first man and of the second man who were next to Jesus. And when the soldier comes to Jesus, they see he's already dead. So the soldier pierces Christ's side. It's very important to note that a Roman soldier was trained in killing people. He knew just where to stab in order to make sure someone was dead. There is no doubt that our God is on the cross, dead. We look upon him who is pierced. This is a horrible sight for us to see. The sight of our God dead on the cross that was prophesied long before his coming. After he died, he was given an honorable burial by two of his disciples. And these things were done that scripture should be fulfilled, that not one of his bones shall be broken. And another scripture that says, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Our text is very clear. Jesus was born to die. Psalm 34 says that the bones of the Savior shall not be broken. Exodus 12 gives the instructions for the Passover lamb that was to be slain for the Israelites, and it states very clearly that none of the bones of this Passover lamb were to be broken. Jesus is our Passover lamb. Psalm 22, which Jesus quotes on the cross, states clearly that those who put him to death would cast lots for his garments and pierce his side. In Zechariah 12, God foretells the deliverance of all of his people and states that the house of David shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Scripture is very clear that Christ was to be born and to be pierced. It's also very clear of why he was killed and pierced in his hands and in his side. Isaiah 53 states that he, that is Christ, was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. It's because of my sin that Jesus is on the cross. It's because of your sin that Jesus is on the cross. This Lenten season is often referred to as a penitential season in the church, and that means that to be penitent of a sin is to feel contrition, sorrow for our sin, and to repent of it. There are times in our life where we don't realize just how serious our sins are. Every time I sin, every time you sin, we add to the pain that Jesus felt on the cross. He was bruised and wounded for our iniquities. His pierced hands and his side are a stark reminder of just how serious every single one of our sins are. Jesus took our place. There on the cross, he faced the wrath of God for all of our sins. That is where we belong on the cross, not where Jesus belongs. We deserve to be put to death and to face wrath as the punishment for all of our sins. And it is because of this that the cross is a horrifying sight to look at. We're reminded of all of our sins, of how often we have failed. And it may even be tempting for us to look away. But we should not look away from the cross, because it's not only a horrible sight for us. It is a beautiful reminder of God's love for each and every one of you. Isaiah 53, right after it says he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, states that the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned away, every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We are healed by the stripes of our Lord. Psalm 34, which was also quoted earlier, also gives this gospel message that the Lord redeems the souls of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. You are God's servants. You are his people. None of you shall be condemned because of our God on the cross. Jesus knew even before his incarnation that this is where he would go. He is God. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He saw every sin you would ever commit from your birth to your death. And still he chose to go to the cross for you. There is no greater show of love than this, that even though we were still sinners, God chose to die and for all of our sins, to pay for them and redeem every single one of us. All of your sins went to that cross and were paid for by his blood. The cross is a beautiful sight for us to see. We look upon him who is pierced and we see that ultimate love that no other God, no other false God, no other person in this world has shown. We should never look away from this beautiful sight because it is there that we see our salvation. The blood that has flown from the side of Jesus Christ has washed all of your sins away. And when Jesus, before giving up his spirit to the Lord and dying, said, "It is finished," he meant that your salvation is won. He didn't say, "It is finished," and mean, "I started the work, so you have to do the rest to be safe." He didn't say, "It is finished," and mean, "Well, actually, I just lived a good example for you guys, so you guys just have to follow that, and good luck." No, when Christ said, "It is finished," he accomplished all that was needed for your life and salvation. There is nothing you must do to enter into heaven, and it was all won for us by the one who is pierced. Your sins have been paid for in full, and they are taken away from you. Psalm 103 states that as far as the east is from the west, so far God has removed our transgressions from us. When God looks at you, he does not see a horrible sinner who put his son to death and who should receive wrath. Instead, when he looks at you, he sees his own dear child, whom Jesus has paid for and bought with his blood. We are healed by the stripes of our Lord on the cross. When you look upon him whom they have pierced, take comfort and remember why God chose to go to the cross. While this sight is so horrible to look at, it's also so beautiful for us to look at, and we should never want to look away from the cross. We should never hide the cross or shy away from it. The blood that flowed from our Savior cleanses us from all of our sins, even today. And we have been justified by it through faith. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 5 that God demonstrates us his love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And much more, then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Christ defeated death by his death on the cross. So we no longer have to fear death. We don't have to fear wrath. We have the wonderful salvation hope won for us by Jesus on the cross. May your faith always cling to this wonderful gospel message of forgiveness, redemption, and love. One of the best things about being in the ELS is we have a very rich hymnody. And in our hymns, we are taught and reminded of this wonderful gospel message, both of the sorrow that comes from our sins and the joy that comes from our Savior who died for us. Hymn 332 is a great example of this. O darkest woe, ye tears forth flow, has earth so sad a wonder that the Father's only Son now lies buried yonder? O sorrow dread, our God is dead. He paid our great redemption. Jesus' death upon the cross gained for us salvation. O sinful man, it was the ban of death on thee that brought him down to suffer for thy sins, and such woe hath wrought him. O ground of faith laid low in death, sweet lips now silent sleeping, surely all that live must mourn here with bitter weeping. O blessed shall be eternally, who oft in faith will ponder why the glorious Prince of Life should be buried yonder. O Jesus blessed, my help and rest, with tears I now entreat thee, make me love thee to the last, till in heaven I greet thee. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, forevermore. Amen.
Thank you. the community.